You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 30 May. We had UK car production out early this morning, down 15.8%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments, the Lewis results, the Sochos results, and Nvidia if we get a moment. Bruce Williamson from Integral Asset Management, the genius of the Harmony deal to buy Mac Copper in Australia, and thoughts from me, inflation targeting. Where did it start and where next? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Saab sends strongest signal yet on lower inflation target. Its mandated inflation targeting framework has been in place since 2000. Business Day, new electricity crisis is looming. No new IPPs located in the five provinces can be fed into the grid until the National Transmission Company starts to deliver on its expansion program. Morning markets, the US was green, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ up 0.2%. The East is mostly red. We've got Sydney up 0.33%, Tokyo down 1.4%, Hong Kong off 1.5%, and Tencent down 2.2%. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures, 3,320. Brent is down at 63.84. Platinum up $1 at 1,081. And palladium down at 9.74. Rand is 17.83. Bitcoin, 108,200. And top 40 opening call, red open, 130 points down, 0.15%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning time. Lewis, we had the trading update a couple of weeks ago. We all thought it was an excellent update. The stock certainly moved a lot higher on it. Results came out yesterday, and somehow they seem to almost exceed the expectations, that the high expectations that the update had set. Stock up even more. This company is really looking good, and frankly, got more prospects ahead of them.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about a trading statement, usually the detail is quite sparse. Mm. But it's usually enough to move the market in the direction that it needs to go into when you get the result. So the result is, if you get a big trading statement, usually doesn't have a big market reaction. But with Lewis, the beauty was actually in the detail. And you could really see how this company has turned around the way that they do business, has refined their operating model, and they are reaping the benefits of it. Aside from that, they're continuing to grow revenue very strongly. I mean, revenue up 13.5% mm-hmm. in this environment for a furniture retailer, that's exceptional. And they didn't do that by issuing bad credit. Their book is very, very healthy, and their data cost has actually come down. And all of this combined with the fact that they are really managing costs quite nicely, they are really managing merchandising quite nicely, has resulted in 60% growth in headline earnings per share and a 60% increase in the dividend to 8 Rand.
The numbers are absolutely staggering, and I mean it puts them on a high single digit dividend yield, on a mid single digit PE, and what I also really like about them is they also buy back shares. I mean, the share count over the last decade has gone from some 90 million down to 50 million.
Yeah, so you really do get rewarded for being invested in Lewis. And I mean, the 9.6% odd historic dividend yield, if they just grow a tiny bit in the next year, you're looking at a double digit for a dividend yield, which I think is extremely attractive. So yeah, I mean, this is one of those stocks that falls into that category of a dividend yield higher than a PE, which is usually a signal of value, but can also be a value trap. Mm-hmm. I don't think and by no means Lewis can be regarded as a value trap. I think this is just pure value.
Yeah, it is pure value. I take your point. Sometimes that ratio means bad stuff, but in the case of Lewis, not. We also had Soho Sun with numbers out, revenue down a little bit, headline earnings down 16%. It's tough out there. We get that. The dividend was also cut by a quarter. Your thoughts on their numbers?
Yeah, so this was actually quite a depressing read because even the areas that were meant to do well didn't do that well. Well, the hotels portfolio did quite well. We expected that, and that's great. But the real growth area for Toho Sun is supposed to be the online betting platform, and that really didn't go as well as they would have wanted it to go, which suggests that they've lost market share in a very rapidly growing market, and that's quite disappointing. The casino business, we know it's very, very tough. We know that these companies need to start relooking at those business models. It seems as if the kind of the traditional kind of casino precinct business model just isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. But yeah, there were some positives to take away. As I mentioned, the hotels portfolio, they still have the opportunity to grow quite strongly in online betting. And I think that some of their properties are really good. They've got some refurbishments underway that are set to help them in the next year or so. And also, what I just loved at a personal level, Simon, is Gold Reef City is performing well. Good for them.
Good old-fashioned Gold Reef City. I like that. Let's go offshore. We had NVIDIA results. Was it after market close on Wednesday evening? The results in themselves, not bad. But of course, then the CEO stands up and he just boggles our brain and makes us all just fall in love with them yet again.
Yeah, he does have a way, doesn't he? He's so excited about his business, and he should be. I mean, the growth prospects are substantial. And if you consider this specific period under review, things were supposed to be tougher. Mm. They were supposed to lose a lot of sales because of curbs on their exports to China of those H20 chips. They were supposed to take a big inventory write-down of $5.5 billion. They did take an inventory write-down, but a smaller than $5.5 billion write-down, because they actually managed to use some of those component parts for other things. So they were very clever in the way they approached it. And even with the lost sales, you had revenue of $44 billion. That's up almost 70%. And it was ahead of expectations. Data center, which is kind of the AI angle, grew revenue by 73%. And what I also liked is that they managed to grow revenue in gaming quite nicely. Gaming has really been struggling, and it is actually their old school business, but it's still quite sizable and it moves the needle, and that was also strong. So the outlook is good. I like the fact that the CEO is so excited about the future. I'm still backing this horse.
Yeah, I hold it. I was late to the party, I have to be honest, but I'm a happy holder at these levels. We leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time. And our poll today with Chantal, on LinkedIn and Twitter, is around Lewis. Those were staggering numbers, absolutely. Question to you, are you holding this furniture, Rita? It's also an unsecured lender, but it's making money. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Bruce Williamson. You find him at Integral Asset Management. Bruce, appreciate the time. The Harmony deal earlier in the week, they're going to be buying Mac Copper, an Australian business, little over $1 billion. First on the deal in of itself, I mean, $1 billion to you and I is a lot, but to Harmony, they've got little debt. They've got massive cash generation, free cash flow, the highest ever with current gold prices. This is a deal that they can easily afford.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Morning to your listeners. Yeah, I'm sure almost from your office, you can probably hear the tools ticking over in Harmony. Yeah, they're making a lot of money. And, you know, fortuitously, if you look at the Harmony model for 30 years, they have been sort of scavenging, taking what others have walked away from. Luckily, in more recent years, bought the big Anglo mines where you've got a lot of ounces under your belt. Gold price is 3 times higher. Mm. And so, yeah, massive cash flows. An opportunity, given the MPRDA that came out last week, which is just ignoring what the private sector are asking for. So this is, in my book, a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card. Going to Aussie, they're there already. and latching on to something like Mac, which is and similar to what they've dealt with, an old, old mine, 50-odd years.
Yeah, it's kind of in their DNA. It's also a slight shift. I mean, as I understand, and you're the expert here, but when we're mining gold in South Africa, one of the byproducts is uranium. But in much of the rest of the world, it is actually copper.
Yeah, our ore bodies here, our gold ore bodies are very, very different to what they're finding there. So, I mean, this is not gold related. It's a copper, silver, zinc ore body. But you're right, you do get a lot of copper and gold. So miners, they learn to process copper. Now, luckily, I mean, processing gold and processing copper is not the difficult part of it. Mm-hmm. We can get better. But yeah, so processing is not a problem. Really, it's the Harmony model. 50 years later, you could see Mac were running into trouble 2 years ago. You find you don't have enough good high-grade stuff, so you start mining lower-grade material. You start overstoping, which means you dilute, and you're looking for something new. So Mac 2 years ago started a program where on the southern side, they found an ore body 150 meters down. Mm-hmm. They access it off their spiraling declines. They've already named it the Murrin Mine after their chairperson. Mm-hmm. So there's one target. And then they recognize that at the bottom end, they've got to go below the 1900 meters where they are. And now that means a complete rethink of going deeper, ventilation issues. And that's exactly what Harmony are good at. You know, Harmony have been 4,000 meters.
Yeah, I was going to say 19 is a lot for most people, but in South Africa, 1,900 meters is, as you say, we're not even yet halfway down in our current mines. And the investment case, I mean, we know the gold story. It's doing what it says on the sticker. Times of uncertainty, gold is, you know, trading at higher prices. That's great. But the investment case for copper is still is very strong with, I mean, it goes into electric vehicles, renewable energy, renewing the power grid, the NVIDIA chips, etc. That really is one of the metals of the future.
Absolutely. I mean, if you listened last night to NVIDIA's conference call, then, oh man, boy, is Jensen unbelievably bullish. The electrification, the grids required, the AI factories, I mean, it's just insane. So yeah, all things being equal, we're going to need more copper, not less. And it's very, very difficult to find new copper deposits of significance. Here you're walking into 40,000 tons a year. Mm-hmm. A projected 12-year life, and maybe some more upside. They go from 1.1 to 1.3 million tons a year. That's a nice increase. Yeah. And do they know what they're buying? Well, if you look at the CFO, Morné Engelbrecht, do you look at the competent person doing all the reserve resource, Jan Kutsia, do you think Harmony haven't got a good insight into what they're buying?
Yeah, no, I agreed 100%. We've also, interestingly, in digging around this, Barrick Gold just changed their name from Barrick Gold to Barrick Mining Corporation, and they're going to be becoming a leading gold and copper exploration company. This is perhaps a bigger trend as well that Harmony's getting into, where gold miners are suddenly becoming gold slash copper miners as well.
Yeah, but I think the operative word is miner. You know, I, from long ago, always, where a lot of people, investors, argued that they need to unbundle the diversifieds, that the fund manager would individually select which metal they wanted. But if you're a miner and you're very good at mining, and you look at this Mac mine, you say, this is exactly what we do back home at twice the depth. So why? You're a good miner. It's right up your alley.
Yeah, and they are. And again, it goes back to their skill set is in many ways old mines, deep mines. I want to quickly go back to the NPRDA, National Precious Resources Development Act. You made the suggestion that this is sort of standing in the way of the likes of the Harmonies and mining in South Africa.
Yeah, you know, broadly, I mean, the mining industry long ago accepted transformation. I mean, everyone knows, given the racial skewness just by sheer numbers, is we need to train people and get disadvantaged people into the workplace like very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue. The issue are the demands made on BEE, 30% procurement. So if you look at bits and pieces that were suggested, I think what the government did was to rush out in utter embarrassment of what happened at Stilfontein last year, is they're trying to legitimize and regularize Zama Zama mining. This is what that document is. It's not about helping grow South Africa's mining industry. You know, give people, come and talk to us. We'll permit you with 1.5 hectares and you can mine in a rudimentary way. Well, you know, those guys are not going to rush to SARS and sign up with Kisswetter.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way. As you read through it, I take your point. Sort of, as you say, trying to sort of legalize the zamazamas, the high risk in mining very, very old, dangerous mines. We'll leave it there. Bruce Williamson, Integral Asset Management, always appreciate the insights. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Some Friday thoughts for me are inflation targeting. So let's first go back to sort of where it comes from. First country to implement it was New Zealand. This is December 1989. The target is between 0 and 2%. That started to hurt because within a very short period, their inflation got to 7%. They also, as the governor reminded us in the Q&A session yesterday, are the only country to actually increase their inflation target, although they moved from 0 to 2% to just a 2%. We then saw Canada in 91, UK in 92, Sweden, Australia, Finland all came in 1993 with their inflation targets. The US Federal Reserve only brought inflation targeting in 2012. They made some tweaks to it in 2020. And then the European Central Bank only came in 2021. There was always a kind of maybe implicit understanding that the Fed and the ECB were sort of at that 2% target, but it was never an official part of policy. Locally in South Africa, our inflation target started February 2000. We were absolutely an early adopter, particularly in the emerging market economies. Most emerging market economies only started to bring inflation targeting in post the 2008-2009 great financial crisis. Our inflation target was that 3 to 6%. But the governor reminded me yesterday, and I have to say, I had absolutely forgotten this. The plan had been that we would have a 3 to 6% range target. We would then drop it to 3.5%, and then ultimately we would take it to 2.4%. Practically, that would mean that our target would have been a 3% and would be sitting at a 3% target right now. Unfortunately, the financial crisis happened in 08-09. The change to the target under then Finance Minister Trevor Manuel was delayed and delayed again and then seemingly forgotten. Certainly, I had absolutely forgotten around it. It now looks like we'll get a new target, I think probably fairly soon, probably within the next couple of months, certainly I think by budget of 2026. And that new target, surely it's going to be 3%. We see sort of two strands. We've got the developed markets sitting at around 2%. We've got the emerging markets sitting at 3%. It makes sense with our current inflation at 2.8%. The governor also said that with a 3% inflation target, they would have a sort of a resting rate for the repo at 6%. That would make prime 9.5% over the longer term. Although maybe there's another debate we should be having. That 3.5% margin that the banks charge. Maybe the banks are making a lot of profit here. And maybe we could drop that in time as well to 3, 2.5. The problem is they need to do it without colluding because, well, then Competition Commission comes. But here's the fun thing. Why 2%? Why 3%? I remember chatting with Professor Adrian Savilla around this, and I assumed there was some deep science, some deep research. Turns out it's a random number. You don't want zero because that's impossible. You don't want one because that's hard. You don't want four or five because that's too much inflation. So, well, where does it leave you? Two or three? And we kind of just got stuck on those numbers. That's it for today. I was chatting with Kieran Whitten yesterday from Anchor. We're talking on what were very strong Tiger Brand results and a special dividend. We're actually seeing selectively, but from companies perhaps we're not expecting. Lewis, Tiger, coming out with really good numbers. Well, then maybe Lewis was a little more expected. But on the Tiger Brands, we asked you if this was a stock you are holding in your portfolio. 40% said no. Tough sector. It is. But Tiger's repositioned themselves and doing great. A third said nope, there are better in the sector. The rest said yes, a great business. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show and you want more deep dives on the likes of Harmony, please leave us a positive rating and a 5-star review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday, how to choose the right share trading platform.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.